He's trying to get Jesus to do something that God told him not to do or didn't give him the word to do. He's trying to get Jesus to disobey God the Father.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Testing of a King, Part 2, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 11. If you guys want to turn to that and say amen. Testing of a King, Part 2. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. We are in the book of Matthew where Jesus has spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness, and he is being confronted by Satan. Satan's talking to him. He's testing him. He's trying to get Jesus to do something that God told him not to do or didn't give him the word to do. He's trying to get Jesus to disobey God the Father. And he's using a threefold tactic that he likes to use on every one of us. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of flesh. You see, we all have those temptations inside of us. Satan knows them all too well. And these temptations worked on Adam and Eve. Satan likes to use old tricks. Here he is playing the same game with Jesus as he did with Eve. In Adam, he tempted Eve with the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes in Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw, that's the lust of the eyes, that the tree was good for food, it's the flesh. I'm going to get me some grub here. And that it was delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, pride of life. I'm smarter than everybody else. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. He played the same trick on Adam and Eve, and it worked. He plays the same tricks on all of us. He shows you something you shouldn't be looking at. And then he gets the lust of the flesh going, "Hoo-hoo, sure would like to have that now that I've seen it. Why'd you show me that, man? Now I want it." And then you start to rationalize with your pride of life, wait a minute, I can do what I want to do. This is my life. I can make my choices. Who's to tell me how to live? I can do whatever I want. There is no God. He ain't going to punish me. Pride of life. The lust of the flesh is the first thing I want to talk about. Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Satan starts out by trying to plant doubt. He says, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. See the word if? He's wanting Jesus to question his deity, his authority, his relationship with the Father. If, you know, if you're so smart, answer me this. If you're so awesome, do that. It's like a challenge. Plants doubt. Satan successfully planted doubt in Eve with the same trick. Genesis 3, verses 3 and 4. Eve is answering the devil. She said, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. See how he twists the word of God? And if you read this very closely, you'll see that Eve got something wrong. She misquoted what God said. He never told her she couldn't touch it. But she told the devil that. She wasn't even using the right words to the devil. That's what he's planning on with you. Don't read your Bible, so when I come to you, you won't know what to say to me. People get their Bibles wrong all the time. God told her that she couldn't eat it. He didn't say nothing about touching it. But she still got it wrong. That means she wasn't listening. She wasn't paying attention to what God was telling them. Satan is counting on that with us. Satan wanted Jesus to use his power for himself. You see, Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He lowered himself. But Satan knew if I could get Jesus to do something selfish, that would be a sin. So you're hungry. And God the Father told you to fast because he led you out here to be tested. And now if you take these stones and you have breakfast, why, you'd be doing a selfish act. If you read the Bible, especially the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus never once used his divine power to serve himself, but to serve the Father only. Satan was playing off the fact that Jesus was hungry and wanted him to give in to the lust of the flesh. It's just some stones, man. And if you're the Son of God, cook you some breakfast with them. Man, you got the power. Why should you go hungry? Because Jesus was denying himself. You see, when we deny ourselves of certain sinful pleasures, we become stronger in the Spirit of God. Because we say no to sin and yes to God. And that makes us stronger all the way around. Jesus answers Satan by saying, in Matthew 4, verse 4, he said, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He was quoting Deuteronomy 8, 3, which says, and he humbled you. This is referring to God. God humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna. Now listen to this. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What's happening in Deuteronomy is that the Israelites were led out into the desert themselves. And God let them get hungry so that he could feed them manna. The word manna means what is it? No, it means what is it? That's really, really what it is. It's a question. What is it? Because every morning God would have breakfast out there for them. And they were allowed to gather enough for that day, but if they tried to save some, it would rot. Okay? Except for Saturday or Friday, they could gather enough for the Sabbath because they weren't supposed to work. Okay, so they could keep it an extra day, and God supernaturally, God divinely made that work for them. But what God was trying to say was, is that unless God speaks it into your life, don't do it. Because you can't live if you're not living by the word of God. You might be alive. Your respiratory system may be heaving your chest when you wake up in the morning. Your heart might still be beating. But you could be spiritually dead if you're not listening to the word of God. And what God is really saying is, if you want life, you need to get life through me, because I am the life. I am the resurrection. Because the physical body dies. Obeying the word of God is more important than living itself. That's what Jesus was saying with this. Jesus was saying this with his actions. He didn't have to say it with his words. He was saying, look, it's more important for me to listen to God than to live and breathe. Because I know where I'm going. I'm going to the Father. And if I listen to him, I'll be with the Father. And so what we got to understand is that there are certain things in life that you are not to have, that you are not to do. And if you do those things, you're rejecting God, unless he gives them to you, unless he gives you permission to do those things. If not, stay away. Now, you don't tell me for a minute that Jesus wasn't hungry. He was starving 40 days. Jesus was not given a command to turn stone into bread. So doing so would be disobedient to God, since Jesus could only do what the Father commanded him to do. Refer to John 5:19. The Son can do only what he sees the Father doing. God didn't tell him to do that. Satan was. This guy's crafty. What's wrong with eating? Nothing. Unless God told you not to do it, then there's a problem, because then you're disobeying God. There's lots of times God will tell me, don't do something. I'm like, well, there's no harm in doing it. Yes, there is, because I told you not to, and I have a reason for it. But it don't make sense. That's why you trust me. And it always turns out that he knew better. Now, the second thing is the pride of life. This is the verse of Matthew 4, verses 5 and 6. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, there's that word if, again, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command your angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Satan quoted Psalms 91, 11, and 12. Think about this for a minute. Satan is quoting the Bible. You don't think he knows the Bible better than you? You're mistaken. He was there when it was being written down in pen. He knows it better than anybody in this room combined. He's got it memorized. He knows the game plan of God all too well. And he knows how to recite it to you, but he also knows how to twist it. Because if you guys would read this, you'll find out that he twisted it. The actual psalm reads, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Do you see what he left out? He read it, or should I say he quoted it, but he left something out. We'll get to that in a minute. The temptation was for Jesus to show off proudly that he was the Son of God. Satan knew God's angels would not protect Christ from his own pride. And it's true that we have guardian angels. And these guardian angels are here to keep us in the will of God. If God does not allow something into your life, the angels will protect you from it. But God will not circumvent your free will choice. So if you do something stupid on purpose, in defiance of God, you're going to reap what you sow. Plain and simple, the angels, their hands are clean. You made that choice, and you knew what you were doing when you did it. It's different when you get behind the wheel and you make a silly mistake. I believe angels help us, but not when you openly defy God like Satan was tempting Jesus to do. Satan left out some of verse 11 of Psalm 91. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And what does the Bible say about your ways? What does the Bible say about your behavior and your obedience? It says this in Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, acknowledge him, acknowledge God, and he will make straight your paths. So listen, the condition is this. When you're going about in life and you're doing your everyday living, you're to acknowledge God. How do you acknowledge God? Well, you can't acknowledge somebody if you don't know them. So you have to know your Bible so that when you're about to do something, say something, or not do something, or not say something, the Holy Scripture will come to you and it'll correct you. But it can't do that if you don't know it. So we acknowledge God by living a Christian life, and then the promise is true. See, there's lots of promises in the Bible. And Satan was trying to get Jesus to cash in on a promise without the condition. You have to have conditions. Satan was hoping, if I can get Jesus to do something without fulfilling the condition, that would be a sin. I can bring Jesus down like I did Adam and Eve. Boy, they were easy. Let's give them some fruit, and I took them out. Matthew 4:7. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Can any of you think of a way you could put God to the test? I can tell you one way. You can come to church and you can hear the word of God and you can hear what's wrong. You can hear what's right. You can walk out of here today and you can do exactly the opposite of what God told you. And the Bible says that for those who knew better and did anyways, greater condemnation shall befall them. That's putting God to the test. That's looking God in the eye and saying, you know what? I heard what the preacher man said. I heard what your Bible says. He showed it to me on the screen. I read it for myself. But I don't believe you, God. And Satan hoping that he could put God to the test. God ain't going to do nothing if I just disobey him this one time. Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16. Do you guys see a pattern here? Jesus knew his Bible. Satan knew his Bible too. We got a war of words going on, don't we? Bible says that the words have power. This is how words have power. Look, you can go down to the lottery store and tell everybody you're going to win the lottery. There's no power in that. But this is true power of words. Jesus was fighting the devil with the word of God. He was telling the devil what God wanted for him instead of the devil dictating to Jesus what he wanted for Jesus. You get the difference? Don't let the devil tell you how to live your life. Don't let the devil push you around. Don't let him misquote the Bible to you. Had Jesus jumped from the 450-foot temple, he would have died. Plain and simple. His death would not have been sacrificial, but rather a selfish act. Here was the idea. Jesus on top of this 450-foot temple. The marketplace was below. Lots of crowds. Everybody was busy doing their daily thing. And he was trying to get Jesus to show off. Look, jump, and as you go down, the angels will catch you. And you just drift down like a feather in front of everybody. And you get all the glory. Show off for everybody that you can do this. Let everybody know that you are the Messiah. Prove it. Show off. And Jesus wasn't falling for it. Does anybody in here know what the word meek means? M-E-E-K? Meekness is having the power over someone or something or both, but choosing restraint instead. Jesus was meek. Jesus could have came to earth and wiped every sinner out. He had the power to do that. And he had the right to do that. Him being sinless, he could cast the first stone, right? But he was meek. He was forgiving. and he wasn't proudful like Satan was hoping. Now, with Adam and Eve, when he showed him the apple, he was like, hey, if you guys eat this fruit, now we shouldn't say apple because the Bible doesn't say apple, but the fruit. If you eat this fruit, you'll be like God yourself. That's pride. Who wants to be like God? I'm not God. I don't want to be like him. It's enough that I'm like my teacher, Jesus. I want to be like Jesus, who is God, but I don't want to do God's role. I don't want to play God. All right. Our last one is the lust of the eyes. I think we all have problems with all three of these, to be honest with you, equally so. Matthew 4, verses 8 and 11. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Well, there's a couple of things that we have to learn here. The Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee. It doesn't mean that the first time you resist him, he's walking away with his baggage pack. No! He came at Jesus three times in a row, and he knew who he was dealing with. But Jesus knew his word, and Jesus stood his ground. He resisted him. You know what? People tell me all the time, the devil made me do it. Hogwash. The devil can't make you do anything. Nobody can make you do anything you don't want to do. But the devil likes to talk us into stuff. And here he was, working on Jesus. Satan showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world. The vision was meant to entice him. Now I'm going to tell you something. Satan watches you. I'm being serious. He's studying you, and he knows what you like. He knows what you like. That's why those things that you're not supposed to have keep popping up in your life. People say, well, it must be God because I keep seeing it everywhere. Come on. Why would God tempt you? He's here to save you. Satan will often show us what we will get in exchange for serving him. But, Nancy is a but to this, he never tells us the true cost and never fully delivers what he promises. If Jesus had bowed down to Satan, all the souls of the world would have been lost. Now, do you really think that Satan was going to give him anything? Do you really think Satan owned all that stuff? Satan thinks he owns everything, but God owns everything. But Satan certainly does have some free reign around here, doesn't he? But when the time comes, God's going to put a stop to all of that. So that tells me that God's actually in control. Okay, Jesus knew that the kingdoms of the world would one day be his anyways. When Jesus returns, the Bible says the wicked will be cut down. And the righteous, those who believe in Christ, who obey, who trust, who have faith, who repent, they're going to be invited to God's party. But first, he would have to suffer and die for us. Now, let's get this straight. Satan is saying, if you worship me, you don't have to suffer, you don't have to die, and I'll give you the kingdoms. There's a shortcut here. And I am going to make you an offer that nobody else would be foolish enough to turn down. Now, you really believe that Satan was going to follow through on that, and you're in some deep trouble because he's a liar. Once you start worshiping Satan, you think he's going to give you any kind of control over your life? Mm-mm. You give Satan one thing, he's not going to stop there. He's going to take everything he can from you. All of it. And his real game was is to get everything from Jesus. He didn't have those things to give. He was trying to take them like he took the Garden of Eden. He got them to step out of the will of God and he took their stuff. Jesus would not violate God's timing for him to rule. Revelations 11:15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." You see, Jesus knew he was going to get what was coming to him. He knew it was coming. But Satan wants you to get it now. The Bible warns us about sinful desires. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says, "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does." What did it just mention to you guys here? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So understand, if this is what you're chasing, this is what you're going to get. And guess what? This is what you're going to have. This is what your life is going to be made of. It's going to be made up of sinful desires, sinful cravings, sinful lusts, and it's going to pass away, and you're going to be covered in this stuff if you choose this path, and you're going to go right down with it. God has no room in his kingdom for sin. Do you think he wants sickness in his kingdom to come? Do you think he wants death in his kingdom to come? He's building a new kingdom. You guys have your choice now. Satan has the power to give us our sinful desires. Did you know that? He has the power to give you that. Oh, he'll deliver exactly what you want. 1 John 5:19, "We know that we are children of God." He's talking to Christians. "And that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." He's manipulating. He's tempting. He's lying. What he's talking about the world is he's talking about the world system. The Greek word for this word of world is, because the Greeks had different words for different words, different means. World system is under the control. It's true. Okay, we're almost done. Satan's offer to Jesus was twofold, pretty much. Barter Jesus' birthright for the passing glory of the world. In other words, give me your birthright, and I'll give you something that is not everlasting. I will give you something that won't last forever. Whatever you guys have today, if it's not Jesus, it's going to be gone one day. You'll either die first, or somebody will take it from you. It'll break down. It'll get stolen. Whatever. It ain't going to last forever. It'll fall apart. Only Jesus. That's all you got. Better make your choices now. And also, to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. All through history, we hear about the Egyptians worshiping the sun. Some people worship trees. Some people worship flowers and the sky and the stars. Did you guys know that every time that you guys read your horoscope, you're worshiping the stars, and that's the creation and not the creator? You're bowing down to other gods that aren't real. But that's what Satan was trying to get Jesus to do, to bow down to a false god. Satan can only imitate. He cannot replace. He cannot create. Do you know that Satan can't create anything? He can only imitate. He comes as an angel of light. We talked about that last week. Matthew 4:10, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Jesus quoted again from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:13, "Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and take your oath in his name." Understand that fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. If you don't fear God, you're not going to live the way he asks you to live. But if you fear God, you'll understand that he's real and you reap what you sow. Just because it ain't happening today don't mean it ain't happening 10, 15 years down the road. God will not be mocked. Every man will be held accountable and they will reap what they sow. Even though Satan left, he was still waiting for a better time to strike again. The book of Luke talks about how Satan left, but he was going to return at a more opportune time. So just because you get rid of him once doesn't mean he ain't coming back around to pick on you some more. He's always there. Conclusion, Where Adam and Eve failed, Jesus succeeded. The Bible refers to Christ as the second Adam. Jesus had victory over temptation, and through him, we too can have victory. But it's got to be through Jesus. Come to Christ today and lay before him your sins and ask him to help you live a Christian life.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.